Nintendo is attempting to avoid a class action lawsuit by fixing Joy-Con issues with no hassle. Plus, I'd tell you about the other story, but you have to log in first. Tonight is July 28th, 2019, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 671 of this podcast. Head on over to... Wait a minute. A Bethesda.net account is required to watch this podcast. Please connect to the... Hang on. I got to call Todd Howard. Todd, stop this. Let people... I'm right here. You don't have to log in. It's okay. Where's Todd? I'm going to call Todd. Hang on. I'm going to call Todd. Todd Howard, I want people to log in. Don't make them log... You don't have to log in. There it goes. All right. Pop-up box gone. Since this moved to Twitch, just you never know what's going to happen. And I apologize to the podcast folks, but sorry, we had to fix that up. Welcome to the Bobby Blackwell Show, where you don't have to log in. We discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history, like when you didn't need to log in to play single-player games from the 90s. Good times. Good times. If you want to join us on Twitch, you don't need to log in on Twitch. You can just, like, watch. You wouldn't be able to talk until you've logged in on Twitch. All you got to go to twitch.tv/VogNetwork. And if you want to chat, you have to log in. No, not to Bethesda.net, Todd Howard. I do not want... Get it off the screen there. Okay, good. You don't have to log into Bethesda.net. You do have to log into twitch.tv if you want to chat with us. But it's easy, and I like them better. And Bethesda.net. And then if you want to call in during the second half of the show, you are going to have to log in to Discord. Not Bethesda.net. Put it away. Then you'll just have to log into Discord. VogNetwork.com/Discord. There's a green room chat channel. You can go in during the music break at the midpoint. And then you can come on the show. And you don't have to log into Bethesda.net to do that. Todd, no. No. Get that off the screen. This pop-up box keeps coming up on the screen. Or you can comment on an episode over at VogNetwork.com, which, yes, you do have to log in to VogNetwork.com to do that. We have turned off private messages so the Russian bots can't spam you anymore. Thank you for bringing that to our attention on our Discord. But, yes, you do have to log in there and not on Bethesda.net. Okay, thank you. The first thing I will say is that next week – is Gen Con. I will actually not be here next week on the show because I'll be up in Indianapolis for Gen Con. And I'm kind of excited. I've never been. So if you don't know what Gen Con is, Gen Con is the E3 or the San Diego Comic Con of board gaming. So it is kind of the industry trade show convention every year for board games. So there's a little bit of video game stuff there, and I'll actually have my camera and I'll show that next week or in 2 weeks when I'm back. I'll actually take some video of that. But it is a primarily board game and trading card and tabletop role-playing, basically all the physical gaming that you would do on a table and not the digital gaming. They do have some, they call them electronic games, but it's mostly BattleTech Pods and Artemis Spaceship Simulator. So that's mostly what's there. But I'm going to be going there for the first time just as an attendee, not speaking on any panels, not going to be press. I haven't bought any tickets ahead of time, although there's like a Final Fantasy 14 board game, they claim. I mean, I don't know if it's a trading card game and they're just calling it a board game because there's a board on the table. So I may sign up for that. Square Enix actually has like an entire area of just like their games, and I think it's all Final Fantasy based. So I may buy tickets to that. So the way Gen Con works... which is so different from everything else, is that, yes, I paid a whole bunch of money to get in the door, and that gets me in the dealer's hall. But if I want to actually play a game, play a board game, I actually have to pay $2. And you can actually pay them ahead of time, and so you know at 8 o'clock in the evening, I'm going to play Arkham Horror with five other people, and I paid $2 for the privilege. And if they've actually got someone running the game for you, they help move the game along and stuff like that. So it's very different, but most of the games aren't sold out, and they actually have walk-up tickets. So you buy $2 any passes. I forget what they're called. But for $2, you can you get a pass that's a generic pass. And if there is an open slot at the table when you walk up, then you can give them your generic ticket, and then you can play the game. So you don't have to plan your entire weekend ahead of time, but a lot of people do. What's interesting is that every panel, even though if they're free, you have to sign up ahead of time for. So even though it's free, you have to have the ticket for it. And there are actually panels of like other podcasts that have – they're like in a panel room that can seat 100 people. They're sold out. I mean, it's free. They're not making any money off of it. They're sold out. Fifth Dream Today asks a question, actually, before I get to that. For that price, do you have to put the game back in the box yourself, or does someone do it for you? So the way Gen Con actually works is that groups, gaming groups, and specific people run the game. So to answer your question, they do it for you. To answer your specific question, because they have their area where they are running at that time. They're running – I'm going to use Arkham Horror as an example. They're running Arkham Horror. They have the game board set up when you get there. And then if you don't really know the game and they actually put like what the skill levels are required, they'll teach you the game and they will walk you through the game and stuff. And then when you're done, they basically reset it if they're going to do another one, or they put the game back in the box. So yes, it is basically every game there is being run by somebody who knows the game really well. And that's why they don't have that many video game tournaments recently, because the video game people that would do this decided not to come back to Gen Con. They had a falling out or something, I was reading on the internet. So that's why they don't have that many video game tournaments. They do have like a Mario Kart tournament and stuff, but that's because that's what people want to run. But in terms of the board games, and I think there's like even like a board game rental place where then you have to put it back in the box and send it back up there. But for a lot of the games, and a lot of these are demos of games that aren't out yet, because like I said, this is kind of the E3 of board gaming. So the actual board game distributors and publishers are actually exhibiting there. This is their E3. This is their big thing. And it's kind of like San Diego Comic-Con, whereas Origins is another board game convention. That is the more laid-back, fan-run convention, like the PAXs of old before ReedPop got PAX, or Dragon Con. Like if you compare San Diego Comic Con to Dragon Con, it's the same thing as Gen Con to Origin. So I'm going to Gen Con. I'm going to the industry one, the big one that's in Indianapolis. So what is not sold out yet, and this is kind of what's got me a little scared. I'm a little scared, guys. Friend of the show, maybe. You may know him as the King of Kong. We have a little bit of a history, me and this person. Long hair, he's got long hair, goatee, American flag tie, sells hot sauce. He's going to be there. For $30, I could have a meet and greet with my good friend Billy Mitchell. We have a little bit of a history, but that's not really what scares me. So I may run into him, and the reason it scares me is he's not. I will tell you that he's not exactly happy with my characterization of what happened last year when I was the moderator on his panel. He has not really appreciated the way that I've kind of defended myself. So that's actually kind of why I'm a little scared, because I don't really want to run into him. But that's not the only thing. For $18, I can go to a musical, an actual performed musical by a theater group in Indianapolis called Arcade Fire, The Redemption of Billy Mitchell. This was, I think the first time they performed it was August of last year. So I'm actually like half wondering if I'm in it, because I can see them because they wrote and they finished the script and stuff after Southern Fried Gaming Expo last year, where I moderated the Redemption of Billy Mitchell panel and didn't say anything for 45 minutes. And so for $18, I can go in there and see if like they actually have that as like the end of the play or something, if that's the closing scene, is the actor that's portraying Billy Mitchell on stage next to some dude that looks like me. Questbush says, I half expect choir music to rise up in the background. Apparently it's in like an 80s power ballad musical, because like it's an actual musical with 80s and 90s tunes, because it's about Donkey Kong and stuff. I am tempted, but not sure. And the reason I'm tempted and probably not going to do it is because Billy Mitchell's going to be there. And he greets everybody at the door as they go in to see this theater. So I'm not exactly sure if it's the only thing that worries me about Gen Con. This play has already been performed, but I've found reviews on it. But like, obviously, you can't find the script online. There's no videos online. So I have no clue. I don't know what I'm going to do. We'll see. $18 to go watch a play, or $30 to go say hi to Billy Mitchell. Kaijudo says, Arkham Horror, the board game, is fun, but they should play Battlestar Galactica. I'm pretty sure Battlestar Galactica is on there. There are like 1,500 different board games being run at some point during the 4 days of Gen Con. I'm only going to 3 days. I'm not there Thursday. It starts Thursday. I'm actually driving up Thursday, and then Friday is my first day there. So I got a 4 day pass, and I'm not even going on the first day. So I'm pretty sure the Battlestar Galactica game is being run at some point. Pretty sure. ActDev says, you'll probably never even run into Billy if we're honest. Yeah, hope not. I mean, hopefully, because his meet and greets are sequestered behind a paywall, then like I won't run by him in the halls. But it's the only part of Gen Con, and I wish I had a friend going that would then pay the $18 to go just tell me if I'm in the play. But yeah. So if you're going to be at Gen Con, you're going to want to go watch a play for me to tell me if I'm in it. I don't actually think I am. I'm 80% sure I'm not in the play. Because that would be... And if I am, it's like they're just going to have some dude sit next to Billy Mitchell saying nothing. Because there's a video of that panel, and you can clearly see me in it. So there is visual reference that the playwriters could do. But hopefully not. Wear sunglasses and a hat. I might have to. Or I'll just wear my actual glasses, because I normally wear glasses, and you don't see me in glasses all that often. But... Yeah, I could just do that. Wear my regular glasses and a hat and not wear the Vogue shirt. I'm going to be wearing the Vogue shirt. So if you're going to be at Gen Con, hit me up in Discord. Hit me up on Twitter. Tell me what if you're a Gen Con veteran and you're going to be there, feel free to come show me the ropes. I'm basically just going. I have no plan. I may buy tickets to like the Final Fantasy trading card game and the Final Fantasy board game that they're showing. It's based on Final Fantasy 14, actually. So I may do those, but like those are the only things I'm going to book ahead of time. I mean, everything else is going to be as I go, and we'll see what's going to go on. And then Thursday, I'm going to be back in Lucas Oil Stadium, because Gen Con, actually, part of it takes place in the football stadium that's right next door, where the Indianapolis Colts play. So I'll be in there for that, and then Thursday I'm going to be back there. If you're into drum and bugle corps, I'm going to DCI Finals on Thursday to go watch some drum and bugle corps. Give me a wall of sound. I'm going to prelims on Thursday. I'm not going Friday or Saturday to that. So we will be back in 2 weeks. And I don't know. I'm going to take my video camera. I don't know what I'm going to be able to get. I don't know what the rules are. I'm not there as press. So I'm not exactly sure. So we'll see. Let's move on. The big news, I've already referenced it about 10 times here. That's gone on is that we got a surprise release on the Switch of Doom and Doom 2, and I think something else. Like they released a whole bunch of stuff, and a lot of people were excited about it. They've delisted Doom on the Xbox 360 on Xbox Live Arcade, which I already had, so that's what I can still play it. But they've delisted it; you can't buy it. Doom 3 was the other one. Thank you, Dark Tetsuya. I didn't have that part written down because I was more enamored with the memes out there. That because when you loaded up Doom, which there is no physical release of Doom, I don't think. I think it's digital only. That when you do that, you are presented with a screen that says that a Bethesda.net account is required to play this game. Please connect to the internet to continue. So that showed up, and everybody's like, this is Doom. This is a single-player game. And Tiger Claw, very early on in the show, said, oh, maybe if they get enough backlash, they'll remove it. Well, guess what? You're in luck because yesterday they announced they were going to remove it. The Verge reports that Bethesda says it will get rid of the strange requirement that players must log into an online account before they play the newly re-released versions of Doom, Doom 2, and Doom 3, which went live on Friday. Players quickly criticized Bethesda for the seemingly ridiculous limitation. The first of these games was released more than 25 years ago, at a time when there was obviously no internet requirement. But you could play Doom Deathmatch over a LAN, and that was awesome. The online login will be made as an optional, is optional in the upcoming update. The publisher said the requirement, which signed players into the BethesdaNet service, not BattleNet, BethesdaNet, was included to let players participate in a program to unlock items in Doom Eternal, which isn't even out yet. The login should be optional, is what they said. So Bethesda put out a tweet yesterday on Saturday saying, an update on our classic Doom releases. The BethesdaNet login requirement was included for the Slayers Club to reward members for playing the classic Doom games. The login should be optional, and we're working to change the requirement to optional now. No, it shouldn't have been optional in the first place, because if it was supposed to be optional, it would have been optional. Your QA testers would have found it. Because, yes, they do have QA. They do work hard. And you know what? I'm actually not even going to leave this on the QA testers. I bet the QA testers are like, hey, shouldn't this not be required if you're not going to care about Doom Eternal? And they probably just like put it on the backlog and said, we'll deal with it later. So I'm not even going to blame QA on this one, because I bet you the QA department at Bethesda found the bug. I bet you they have. And I bet it was some management were like, yeah, they're funny. Dark Tatsia says, I did see something that you can put in a bogus email, so I don't think it checks, but agreed, why is this even there in the first place? So the reason it was there is because they want to give you rewards if you want those rewards. And unfortunately, they decided that everybody needed these rewards, and not only if they just wanted them. So, yeah. ActDev says, Bugthesda. I am, as much as I'm goofing on Bethesda, I will say, yes, I'm pretty sure their QA department, because I know enough people that have done QA in the game industry to know this to be true. All those bugs you find in like Skyrim and Fallout and make memes about, I'm pretty sure the QA team at Bethesda also found them. The problem is, then they don't get fixed. So I'm not going to sit here and say, why didn't QA find this? Because chances are, QA found them. And QA wrote them up and sent them up, and the managers who were managing the project in the timeline said, we are not going to devote developer resources to this. So it is something that happens even in the non-gaming industry. You'll find that. Even that'll happen there, where they'll be like, is this a corner case? That's what we call it, a corner case or an edge case. Is it like, you know, only somebody trying to break it will find? If only somebody trying to break it will find it, they will generally deprioritize that. And they will put in game break, you know, they will fix game breaking bugs and create new game breaking bugs, because that's how programming works. They'll fix the game breaking bugs. If you're not trying to break it, how can it bug out? That's what they look at first. So a lot of the bugs that people find or post and a lot of the exploits are stuff, we're trying to break the game, and here's all the exploits. And everybody's like, why didn't QA find it? Well, they probably did. It's just nobody decided to fix it. Speaking of memes, I will show that I did one. So if you go onto Twitter and you go to my Twitter, and I even did like the lame thing of where I retweeted it myself, because I actually like put it up at like midnight. I'm like, nobody's going to see this at midnight. But I will say that this actually happened to me. I had a Bethesda.net login. So if you go and you look for this video. It's on my Twitter. And
all right, about time to go somewhere in my Tesla. Oh, what?
Oh, damn it, Bethesda. Yeah, so there's a wonderful video of me and because I drive a Tesla, and it's got like this whiteboard app. For the podcast users, it's got this whiteboard app. So it actually has the Bethesda.net login should be on there. So yeah, so if you find that tweet, it's been linked in chat, give it a retweet. I'm like a day late on the meme train, but that's fine. I think other people should see it. I originally actually did that as like a web page, but they've changed. Tesla actually changed the in-car UI to you can't full screen a browser anymore. You used to be able to. So like my home address was going to be in the video, so I would have to like take the video and like blur out my address because it's on the map because I was parked in my garage when I shot that. So how about we move on to the next story? In order to avoid a class action lawsuit, Nintendo is actually going to be doing something that they probably should have done in the beginning. And no, we're not talking about Bethesda Net anymore. I don't need to. We're not going to talk about that anymore. Sorry about that, Twitch viewers. Vice Gaming has reported that Nintendo's got a problem on its hand. It's called Joy-Con drift. It's an issue where the analog sticks in the Switch's detachable controllers begin moving things on the screen on their own. So basically, like, they get decalibrated in the center of that. What it considers to be the center is not the actual center. So when the sticks are physically in the center of their thing, it's telling the Switch that, no, you're really pointing very little bit to the left or the right. That's technically what's going on under the hood. Following a huge response to a report by Kotaku, it became enough of an issue that Nintendo recently told customer service representatives the company will no longer charge customers seeking Joy-Con repairs and refund those who've already paid, according to the internal Nintendo documentation seen by Vice Games. The internal customer service details say, quote, customers will no longer be required to provide proof of insurance for Joy-Con repairs. Additionally, it is not necessary to confirm warranty status. If a customer requests a refund for a previously played Joy-Con repair, confirm the prior repair and then issue a refund, unquote. The memo was provided to Vice Games by a source familiar with Nintendo's updated customer support documentation. We agreed to speak on under the condition of anonymity because they're not authorized to speak publicly about Nintendo's internal processes. That's boilerplate. ActDev says, so class action lawsuit no more. I think this is probably trying to heat off a class action lawsuit because there was one that was going to be made. And because there's been problems with the Joy-Con. What I want to know is I actually have a different problem with my Joy-Cons. And this only happens on my set of Joy-Cons because I bought the Switch on launch day. Is that if my Switch is too far away, the left Joy-Con will actually just disconnect randomly. Even if it's in like the little holder that, you know, that turns it into a dog and you play it that way. If you're too far away from the Switch, then the left Joy-Con just turns off while you're playing. It does not happen. My wife bought a Switch a year later. Hers don't do this. Hers work fine. But the ones that I got, they have this problem. I do not have the Joy-Con drift issue, but I wonder if I can get that fixed. It's a Bluetooth antenna. It was a hardware defect, I think they found, and I just never got it fixed. So I'm wondering if I can get them finally repaired for free. Even though it's probably out of warranty. I don't know if it's out of warranty or not. It's only been a year and a half because that's how long the Switch has been out. So they don't specifically talk about my issue because they fixed it in later versions. And the later versions don't have that. And I could always just buy another set of Joy-Cons and then use those as my the ones that I use outside of the Switch when I'm docking it and want to use them. Usually when I'm playing Smash Brothers. Nothing is more frustrating than having a friend who's not really good at fighting games use that controller and sit really far away from the Switch and then have it die on him when he's like almost about to maybe do good. It was not a good thing. Fifth Stream Today says, I have a thing where my left Joy-Con isn't detected, but it works only if the right one isn't connected. I wonder if you can get this fixed too. SJ Winterman says, did someone say drift? Initial D Deja Vu played. I'm not going to play it. But I get what you're going with that. Fish Room Day says, so I have to play in handheld mode with the right one slightly disconnected. Yeah, you should get that fixed. You should get that one fixed. That's something you should get fixed. Dark Tetsuya says, weird. Even after updating the controllers and everything, I'm assuming that's a new one to me. At least I guess maybe to Fifth Dreams. For my thing, it's actually like the Bluetooth receiver inside, or the Bluetooth emitter, because I think they're Bluetooth. The way that they put in the left Joy-Con, where they put the antenna inside, when you're holding it, you're blocking the signal. And so, it's not completely blocking it, because if you're close enough to the switch, it's not going to matter. But when you start getting farther away, it blocks the signal enough that it disconnects. And there's actually like DIY stuff. People like actually took it apart and fixed it. I could take it apart and fix it myself if I really wanted to, or I could have Nintendo do it and not have to deal with it. Tarklaw says owners of the Switch Lite won't have to deal with this problem since the controllers are built in. And somebody also said, I hope that the Joy-Con drift issue isn't a problem in the Switch Lite. I'm going to guess, I don't know anything about the situation, so this is me making an educated guess, that the drift issue is related to possibly hooking and unhooking and hooking and unhooking the Switch Joy-Cons. I think it's the snap, and I think that dislodges something inside the Joy-Con. That might be what's actually happening. So the Switch Lite, obviously the Joy-Cons are part of the Switch. They're not ever going to be detached, and so this issue may not come to light. It may be one of those where it's like people who detach and reattach a lot, they run into this issue. And since I don't do that, that might be why I don't have the Joy-Con drift issue, because either I'm playing in handheld mode with the Joy-Cons attached, or I've got it docked and I'm using a Pro Controller. So I'm not actually bringing the Joy-Cons out of the Switch, and so I don't have the drift issue. That may be something, and then somebody in chat's going to be like, no, I never undock. I never take the Switch controllers off the Switch, and I have the drift issue, so you're wrong. So I could be completely wrong. Questbuster says the analog stick part may or may not be the same one used. Someone parted out a Joy-Con, basically disassembled it. And the theory is that the graphite pads are that the rockers slide over, erode in some, and leave debris. And that happens. Even if you are a clean person, even if you are an adult and not a kid, debris does get in there. Just that's the nature of being here in the world. Guy Judah says, the whole Switch Lite is going to drift in your hands, so be sure to have that wrist rope on. There you go. It's going to fly out. It's going to fly out of your hands. All right. So that's the news for the week. It was kind of it felt like a slow news week a little bit. So, I guess just because summer and, we've already had E3. We've already had Comic-Con. Gamescom is coming up. I guess, QuakeCon was this weekend. SIGGRAPH is this weekend out in LA, but that's a big graphics conference. QuakeCon, it was like, yeah, Doom Eternal stuff, and we're really re-releasing the old stuff. And then we were told to log in to see more. And no, we're not going to stop. We're going to stop with that. Tireclaw says, yes, if your room is prone to lots of dust. Most rooms are prone to lots of dust. Just about every room is prone to lots of dust. Yes, there are certain high-end laboratories that have clean rooms that aren't. I doubt one of those is in your house. We're going to take a quick music break. So during this music break, we've got a lot of time. So I hope, I really, really, really hope somebody wants to call in. So what you're going to do is you're going to go to our Discord, fognetwork.com/Discord. And then there's a green room chat channel. Sit in there. That way I can see you. And then during the second half, hopefully, we will be able to take some calls and we'll talk about anything going on. Or you could tell me if you've been to Gen Con and you can give me some tips. That'll work too. So we've got a lot of time tonight. Usually I actually go 10 minutes over, but now I'm actually running on time. So hopefully some of you in chat, you want to be on the show. We're going to take a quick music break. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
This is Billy Mitchell, Video Game Player of the Century, and I'm participating with the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
He's going to be at Gen Con. So am I. Kind of scared. Walter Day will be there, too. So if you want to leave a bumper, you do not need to be the Video Game Player of the Century. And all you got to do is send me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers at bobbywhitewolf.com, or you can send me a link to a video, or if you're going to be a Gen Con, you do not need to log into a Bethesda.net account to send me a bumper. Get this. It keeps popping up. Todd, thank you. Todd Howard coming in on the show saying I needed. Yeah. So we're going to take now your calls. Like I said, you do not need to have a Bethesda.net account to call in and be a part of the show. All you got to do is go to our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord, and then from there, join the Green Room chat channel. I will pull you into another chat channel when it's your turn to talk. We can talk about anything going on. And if you're somebody who hasn't called before, please leave a text message in the Bobby Blackwell Show text channel right above it. And just kind of say kind of generally what you want to talk about, just so I'm a little prepared. Dark Tatsia says, that bumper, of course. Yes! That bumper. I had to pull it out. We'll see. I will let you know. Because, like I said, I've seen, like, he's comment, like, I've defended myself on some YouTube comments. I'm like, yeah, this isn't the best moderating job. And I'm actually getting responses from Billy Mitchell going like, huh? And I'm like, all right. I didn't want to wade back into this again because I got interviewed on like a YouTube show, a Twitch show about my performance, and they were all like, you shouldn't have been there. And I'm like, you're right, I shouldn't, but I was, and I don't want to be back in there. Questbuster says, are there any specific board games or games you're looking forward to at Gen Con? Not really, because I don't know what I'm looking forward to yet. The great thing about Gen Con, because I have had friends who've gone before, and their favorite thing to do at Gen Con is they're looking for the game they've never heard of, they try it, and then they buy it and bring it home. So, and I've done that at, like, Dragon Con as well, like, where I've rented a game, I'm like, I've never heard of this game, let's rent it, which you can rent for free at Dragon Con and go play it and then return it. And then we're like, we should buy that game and play it again. So, I mean, there's a couple games I've found that way. That have been a lot of fun. One of my Dragon Con finds was this game called Cash and Guns, which is it's a bank heist game, but it's actually the board game takes place after the heist, and everybody has this little foam orange guns, and you play as a mobster and stuff. And so everybody basically you go in and you've robbed a bank, and so you have the money out on the table, and now you need to split up the money. But obviously, there's no honor among thieves, so first thing you do is you try to shoot someone and convince them not to take any money so you get them and you don't want to get shot. It's actually really fun. And it has these big foam guns, and it's like 1, 2, 3, and then you point at someone at the table, and it's a lot of fun. So if there's anything I'm looking forward to at Gen Con, it's that board game I've never heard of and haven't played it yet. So I am going to look. I'm probably going to like go ahead and get a ticket to sit in on some of the Final Fantasy stuff. I know one's a collectible trading card game, so I'm not going to be as interested in jumping into that, but I'd like to try it. But then there's the Final Fantasy 14 board game. I don't know what it's called off the top of my head, and I haven't looked it up. But that's the other thing. Like, those are the two things I'm going to schedule ahead of time. But then from then on, it's like, what can I find? Like, some other board game finds I've found at things like this, there was I've got a card game, not a collectible card game, so it's a game you play with cards, so it's a board game technically as well, called Flame War. And Flame War, you are an internet forum moderator trying to close threads, and other people are trolling in your threads, and if the last message is a troll message, you can't close it, and you're trying to close the longest threads, and so there's action commands of like stealing other people's threads and putting them on your message board and stuff. So that brought me back PTSD from my time moderating the G4 forums. It's called Flame War. And I even have a shirt. If you ever see me wear a shirt that's got a big hammer that says ban on it, that's because the ban hammer card is like one of the Uber cards in that game. So I actually bought the ban hammer shirt. So yeah, I actually played it for the first time at PAX East is where I played that one. So this was a long time ago. I don't know if it was 2014 or 2015 or something like that. So other than that, it's like I don't know what's out there. I'm going to the industry trade show. I'm going to find out. And then I'll let you know. So it looks like we have somebody in the green room. So we're going to go ahead and take a call right now. I'm going to pull him in here, I think. So Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, what's up, Bobby? This is Kai Judo.
Kai Judo, it's good. Thank you for saving me. I was vamping a little bit.
No problem. But I actually came to talk more board games because
excellent.
You're talking my language, man. I love board games. What I love so much about them is just like. Just all the different types of board games that are out there, like all the creativity.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people can say this, you know, people can debate me on this, but I feel like in the gaming world, like the creativity is lacking. And I think a lot of that is because of the community. Like people just complain mm-hmm. about anything that comes out new, anything mm-hmm. that's slightly different. They want to compare it to the old game. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with the board game world, you don't really have a lot of that. Like you do have like some sour people.
Oh yeah.
You know, that come. You know, they complain about certain games, but I don't see it as much as I do in the game community. Have you experienced that as well?
No, because I'm not in the board gaming. I'm not like on Board Game Geek all the time and look at their forums. So I don't. I'm not there, so I don't know if I see it or not. I do know some people like complain about Gen Con itself.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But well, the thing. So here's what the latest complaint was: is because Gen Con has grown so big. And they're not mm-hmm. leaving Indianapolis. They've like basically taken over the entire convention center. So a couple of years ago, for the 50th anniversary of Gen Con, I didn't realize it was that old. They moved some stuff. They expanded into the Lucas Oil Stadium right next door, the big football stadium. So mm-hmm. now you can play board games on the field of Lucas Oil Stadium. And people are complaining that like they get moved out there and nobody goes out there. And so they're losing money because some people, they're running games, and they're like, they get some money out of that. So that's like the only complaint I've really heard so far.
That's a fair complaint.
Yeah. But I'm going to go into Lucas Oil Stadium, and I'm going to look around, and I'm going to go try to play one of these games. I'm gonna prove them wrong.
Now, there's a game I want you to try to find out. I don't know if it's going to be there because I think it might be like a two-year-old game, but it's a lot of fun. It's called Onitoma. I believe it's Japanese style, and basically it's for people that you might have had like some interest in chess, but you really don't want to learn about openings, and you kind of forget what some of the pieces do, and you know
how is it spelled?
Does it
start with an O?
Yeah, wait, I have the game right here. Hold on a second. Okay. It's O N I T A M A.
Okay,
it comes in a great box.
Oh, and I'm scrolling through. To see if I see it. Nobody's officially running it.
That doesn't mean it's
not there, but it's just nobody's officially running it. There are 15,564 different games being run at Gen Con this year.
Wow. That's crazy. Well, this game is a game that you really want to have in your collection. Like I'm not like the biggest board game collector just because like I don't have the space to just collect all those board games, but I have a decent amount. Like I always go, like if there's something I really want to play and something I like, I'll get it, you know. So this is the type of game that you want to have in your collection, because I mean like the way that the box design itself is just a beautiful box that comes in. It's like a rectangular box, not like your traditional game box. It has like some kind of like magnetized thing so you can like close it. You don't have to like break the box by, you know, sliding it into itself and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And what's cool about it is it's basically like chess, but it's like a Japanese style version of chess, and like it's really short. You know, it doesn't play out as long as chess. And like what's really cool is like the you have all the crazy moves, but you have cards in front of you that tell you exactly how your piece can move, and like those cards change. Like each round those cards rotate out and you get like a new set of cards. So it's almost like a trading card game type of a thing in it as well. Because you really don't know like what type of layout you're going to get. So like one minute you might be able to like, you know, jump a space and capture a guy, and then the next round you don't have that power anymore. And then your next power is maybe you can jump back and catch somebody or mm-hmm. jump in front of you, or you know. So it's really cool. It's like the you know, just the randomness of it just makes a lot of cool. You know, makes it really cool, and it reminds you a lot about chess, and like it also like kind of holds your hand as you play along, because you don't have to remember all the complicated moves. You know, because like it's right there on the card. You know, you just got to do what the card says, basically.
Yeah.
It's a fun little game. And the board is cool as well, because it's not like a regular, like, cardboard where it's going to get damaged. Like, it has, like, a nice little, you know, like those play mats that people use for trading card games?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the board is. So you just roll the mat out, and you play, and you know, have fun. It's a good game. I've only played it through the app, because, like, a lot of my friends are just, they're just not in the board game. So, like, I'm basically, like, I feel bad because I get these games and then there's nobody to play them with. So, like, I'll either find, like, a digital version of them and just play it that way by just, like, having the game in my collection.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's the Battlestar Galactica game. Can't go on that. I don't know if you ever played that, but...
I have not. What I've actually pulled up, I'm going to pull up on the screen. Because Questbuster says, also as a side note, Cyberpunk Red, which bridges the 2020 version in 2077, will be debuting at Gen Con. It's no CD Projekt. It's actually Mike Pondsmith out of his company, Artelosaurian, for his pen and paper setting. I'm going to switch over to the screen. I want you to see, I looked this up, Questbuster, every single thing related to Cyberpunk Red is sold out. I cannot get it, including all the panels, because like they're actually doing these panels and stuff, like where are these guys now? And every single thing is sold out. And notice they're like $2, $4. There was one thing that was free. It's gone on Wednesday. But yeah, those, it's totally sold out. And I think there might be like a waiting list for some of these. Like, so one of these jump starts, if I click into it. Yeah, six people can be in it. And I could get on a waiting list to try Cyberpunk Red. But
what is that? Is that like a pen and paper?
I guess.
D&D type
yeah.
of game?
Yeah, I guess yeah. that's what it is. Yeah, because it's bridging to the upcoming video game.
Because I got worried for a minute because there's a big rumor out. I don't know if you heard of a card game called Android Netrunner. But
yes.
Yeah, the original game was Netrunner. It got canceled. Then Fantasy Flight, they're like a big board game company. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just saying that to your audience. You know who they
yeah.
are. But anyway, they so they came out with Android Netrunner. And that got canceled because Wizards of the Coast, they wanted their license back for whatever reason. A lot of people suspect that they wanted it back because they think they're planning on doing a collectible card game for the Cyberpunk game that's coming out, the video game. So
and I will like say, and I also will say, I'm sorry to interrupt, because I just
no
looked
problem.
This up. You were talking about the Battlestar Galactic board game.
Yeah.
They are running it. It's also
oh, yeah.
completely sold
it.
Out.
Ah. Oh. Oh man, I wish
completely
you could get
sold
into that because that has. I know you love the werewolf game, and it has like
yeah.
a werewolf type of element. It's one of those like deduction games where it's like you know somebody like you have one or two traitors on the team. You have to figure them out, but you know you're actually playing out this whole Battlestar Galactica scenario. Like you're literally doing what they do in Battlestar Galactica, where you're trying to get back home and
yeah.
you're warping and all that stuff, and you have to find out who's the Cylon in your
okay.
group. Like a lot of people like to call him. They're like you're a toaster. That's like the big joke.
Yep.
That game.
Yeah, no. Yeah, they've got board games for like there's the whole Firefly board game stuff and then but I will say the Final Fantasy stuff not like one thing is sold out. And everything else is fine. And then there's another Final Fantasy game that's not being shown here.
Oh, I know you got to get to OLR
yep.
so I just want to let you know about one thing that I bought over the weekend. This
All
is
right.
also tabletop game related.
Okay.
If you're in a D&D or any type of role playing game, but you don't have somebody that's like a really good DM, or you just don't want to bother with a DM, or you don't want a DM, there's this really cool PDF out. I think it's like $5. It's called Mythic, Game Master Engines. You get that, and that takes the place of the DM. Like I didn't think it was like legit. I was like, okay, all right, let me see if this really works. I tested it out, and I swear what happened was I decided to come up with I have like all these like spy tabletop games, so this is all random. This is like there's no DM or anything, and so I decided that okay, well, me and my team we're tailing this suspect. Like we're gonna find out where this guy is, what he's doing, or whatever. And out of nowhere, because of this game, because this game throws random events at you, the guy that we're following. He meets up. I'm not going to get really dirty on your show, but he meets up with a prostitute.
Okay.
And the prostitute ends up killing him. And now we have to find out
okay.
who this prostitute was. It turns out that the prostitute wasn't even a female prostitute. It was actually a man dressed as a female prostitute. So now we have to find out who this person was. And this was all due to the game. This is just a random event that the book throws at you. Like, this isn't something that I created or I thought was going to happen, which is like just blew my mind. I can't believe it. But you need to check that out. And the last thing I wanted to get to is I want to know if there's any way I could take a poll on the on Discord, because I really want to do like a Rocket League tournament for VOG, you know, maybe like
yeah.
late August, early September.
Okay.
And I want to know like who would be interested in it, because I want to know if we should do a three versus three teams or one versus one. I'd rather three versus three teams,
right.
but if we have to do one versus one, that'll be fine too. But I'd like to take a poll on that and see who's interested.
Okay.
And I'll set it up.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. No problem.
All right.
Yeah. So I will try to get that that set up on there. Let's see. We do have one. We actually have another caller in the green room. So we're going to go ahead and take this caller. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, what's going on, Bobby? It's Ronmo.
Ronmo, what's up, man?
Not too much. I have a question for you. Have you started packing for Gen Con yet?
No. I'm a business traveler, so I'm so used to like packing at the last minute because that's just what I do.
You know, I totally get you. There are some cons where I'm like, if I have to leave Thursday, I'll sit there Wednesday night and chat with my squad and pack.
I'll be watching Twitch Wednesday night.
But we're getting ready for the final BronyCon that they're having. So, yeah, my suitcase, I'm already started packing because I am leaving after work on Thursday to head down to Baltimore.
I'm sorry. We need a Bethesda.net account to be able to talk about ponies. So you need to connect to the internet to continue with this call. All right.
Done.
Okay. I see how you're getting ponies on my show, though.
No, I didn't mean it like that. Yeah. I was just curious if you had started packing and so forth.
No, and also, it's a family visit, my wife's family from Indianapolis. So it's actually, I'm staying longer than just Gen Con. So I probably should, but I haven't yet.
You know something? I think that is a great idea because one of the things that we talk about on our show is when you travel for a convention, you should stay an extra day or come in a day early and kind of take in the sights because once day zero hits, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're literally going up for three different things.
Nice.
Because it's one of her siblings' birthday is one of the nights between the two events I'm going to. So, yeah, no, we're actually going to be there for over a week.
Ooh, fancy.
So, yeah. That was our excuse for vacation.
I mean, it works.
Yeah.
But going back to Gen Con, you're showing the signups and it's sold out. I'm just like, wow.
Yeah.
But on the same token, I'm like, I think more anime and comic conventions should do that. If the panel is going to be very popular, pre-reg for a spot. And then you get to go. And if not, it is what it is.
Well, that's why I've talked to people locally who used to go to Dragon Con. Then they went to Gen Con and said, we're never going to Dragon Con again because Gen Con... They know their whole schedule. There is no such thing as a line at Gen Con, apparently. You do not line up for panels or for anything because you've already scheduled online and you're already guaranteed a seat.
And you want to know something? I could see them doing this at regular conventions and the backlash. Well, how was I supposed to know?
Right.
Well, if you were to read, you would see that.
Yeah, I think that's Gen Con's been around for 50. I don't know if it's 50 years or if they've just had 50-something Gen Cons. They might have multiple in a year. So they probably get a pass because they've been around for so long.
Honestly, whether they get a pass or not, it makes the most amount of sense. It's no different from pre-regging for a masquerade or trying to get into Artist Alley or anything like that. If you're not there when they open the gates, that's it. And you just have to wait.
Prepaying for, a picture session, which I know is a big thing with some actors, where you buy ahead of time your photo session and then you're in line at that time and then you run in, take your picture for 10 seconds with David Tennant and run out. And then you
see, I like that. I like the fact that I can just go on the site, spots available, pay now, get the confirmation set, walk over. I have a minute to get my autograph, picture, whatever, and I go about my way. There's no lock.
Gen Con has been around since 1968, says Questbuster. So we're going to the old place. So, all right. When are you coming to Dragon Con, man?
I honestly don't know. It's just that it's so huge, and I know I can't take large crowds like that. But I do want to go for a couple days because I have a couple of cool cosplays to walk around with. So maybe 2021 because I am planning a trip to Japan. I just can't really divulge what's going on with that.
Yeah. There are no real dragons at Dragon Con, so you're safe. There might be real dragons in Japan, though.
All right.
I have a friend who lives in Japan. He tells me there are real dragons there. I don't know if he's telling me the truth or lying. I don't think he's lying to me.
Well, I mean, you do need the morph in order to get the dragon, so I kind of believe it.
All right. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, dude. Take care.
All right. Two calls. And I will say that thank you so much for that. So I will also say it's this what I'm actually going to probably try to get tickets to that I didn't is this. It's not only one of them sold out, and it's the day I'm not going to be there. This Final Fantasy XIV Gold Saucer Cackpot Party. Place your bets in this new Gold Saucer inspired board game straight out of the world of Final Fantasy XIV. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try to play this game. I'm going to sign up probably for this Friday when there's still it's not sold out. So for $2. I might be able to do it. Thank you so much for calling in. Coming up next, I've kind of gone over time here, but I don't think they'll mind. Coming up next is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. We're going to try to check with them. If they have a Bethesda.net login. No, we take that off. Take that off. We're going to see. It may be so late they may not be ready for me to call in. They may not know anything's going on. So sometimes we do like check in with them. Sacramento, are you guys there?
Yes, we're here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing well. So I ran a little long when I thought I had like a slow news week because everybody's called in at the very end. It was kind of nice.
That's okay. It is kind of a slower news week. I'm not sure what it is. I don't know if it's just the summer and maybe some more people on vacation or what have you, or the kind of the period of time between like E3 and Gamescom, I think, might have a little something to do with it. So it is just a little bit slower right now.
And I'm not here next week.
Because the news requires a Bethesda account.
And I'm not here next week. Oh, I don't have the Bethesda thing on this scene.
Oh, well.
Bethesda Net is required to watch OLR. Sorry.
Well, it's okay anyway. We were having a very important discussion about drag queen heels anyway.
I didn't even think to do the Bethesda joke for our little bumper tonight, so I guess I'll have to try that next week. Who knows?
Yeah. It'll be very old news by next week. I only missed it by a day with my tweet.
Yeah, keep in mind I've been a little out of the loop because I was gone this week, although I guess all that kind of came up on like what Friday, Saturday, so it was a little bit more to the weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. But apparently, like, Pokestops or something are dead. Is that what happened today?
I think Pokestops. So. I have not really been checking Pokemon Go, but I do believe there's supposed to be a Team Rocket invasion tonight between, like, 4 and 5 or something.
I hit one, and it froze my game.
Whoops.
Well, that's what they do.
Yeah, I've apparently missed that whole thing. I've been really slacking on Pokemon Go. I kind of picked up the Wizarding World, and that's what I've been playing when I'm not playing Ingress. I mean, Ingress is still kind of taking up the bulk of my time. And then if I'm not doing that or I'm over that or whatever, I'll play the Wizarding World, and that's Alan is into that. So it's something that we can kind of do together. In fact, last night we were at our local park, which, thanks to all the Ingress people in the area, it has gone from like 3 Pokestops to having like 13, I think, over there.
Nice.
So it's a great place to go. And the other team had it in Ingress. So I was like, well, I'll go and I want to blast it and microfield it and get some points in Ingress. And then Alan's like, I'll tag along and I'll play Harry Potter. So we kind of like both were playing our games.
That's
and,
good.
You know, spent a good 30 minutes walking around at the park.
I'm wondering if we're going to get any unknowns at Gen Con.
At Gen Con, you might. I wouldn't see why they wouldn't come back to Dragon Con this year either, although I would imagine they're just going to be the same letters, so it might not be as exciting for you or me, because I'm still sitting on probably, easily like 60 to 70 of those things from last year.
And if they had them at Gen Con, there's only one letter I don't have. It's E.
Oh, yeah. You would have all the same letters. That's funny.
I talked over Jamie. I apologize. I forgot what she said.
It's okay. I was just saying, y'all have letters that I need to get copies of or get traded or something.
Well, yeah, if you want more, I'll give you a set of Dragon Con. Funny enough, I did get an E from Shad because he was at the year that they did Celebi ? Or something like that, or Celebi exclamation was the word at the Go Fest. So he got a bunch of those, and we kind of traded the letters around.
Yeah. So are we going to need a Bethesda.net account to know what's coming up on OLR, or are you going to give this out for free?
No, I guess I can give you this one for free. Why not? We've given away a lot for free over the years. Dark Sakura took a road trip to a convention here in California, very, very similar to the Southern Fried Game Room Expo that you've been gaming expo, excuse me, that you've been talking a lot about. A show called California Extremes. Yeah. So Dark Sakura went, was there in person. It's going to tell us all about it. Sadly, I didn't go this year. It's always something with me in California Extreme. I haven't been for like 6 years.
It was fun, though.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that. And then, of course, we have some news to get into as well. A follow-up on the broken Joy-Con thing we got into a little bit next week. Sounds like Nintendo's been pressured to do some things. We'll talk about a voice actor who has been replaced. Kind of reminds me of a story we had not that long ago about, like, a motion capture. Yeah, the motion capture actor was, like, completely replaced. Because
he was caught with cocaine.
Yeah, so we have a similar-ish type of thing going on this week. We'll talk about that. And Wii U owners are about to lose access to something that I don't know. They might have still been using on the Wii U. We'll talk a little bit about that.
What's a Wii U?
I know it's that thing collecting dust that you put your Switch in front of, and you put that big hunkin' tablet behind, but you still have some virtual console games that you bought for it. Then it's the only way you can still play them.
It's that thing that you loaned to your best friend's son months ago.
Yeah. Orange Sound Radio is up next. I will not be here next week. So you guys are holding down the fort next week.
No, we'll be here next week. We'll start our show at the usual time and try to have some fun even without Bobby Blackwolf next week.
How is that possible?
We'll try.
We'll make a gallant effort.
We can only do our best.
Thank you. Orange Sound Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back in 2 weeks. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. You can join me live here and interact and call in and do all that stuff. Thank you so much for people who called in tonight. I do appreciate it. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper. If you see the show, just email me an MP3 or a link to a video to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com or contact me on Discord and we can figure out a different way to do it. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf. That's where I'm going to be posting pictures from Gen Con. So if you want to see stuff from Gen Con, follow me on Twitter. Or you can send me feedback on the episode pages at VogNetwork.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. I want to recognize the people that are hosting us. So thank you just so much to these people who host us on their personal Twitch channels. Even if you do not yourself stream on Twitch, you have an account here. Not on Bethesda.net. Not on Bethesda.net. You can host, put us on your auto host list, and then it just shows up, and that helps our numbers. So it's actually really good for us. So these are the people that are currently hosting VOG Network. Thank you so much. Only Sonic, XLink777, PodCulture, Collision28, Bull7708, Fifth Dream Today, Spyro Jonathan, TigerClaw, ActEft, Rob Roberts, 13X Forever, Anime Jam Session, SJ100 Matt, Johnny Woofy, Misty OLR, Veronica Isabel, Travis Donovan, YYR, Critical Myth, Questbuster, AJ Twist, Loki OLR, and Pixel Pacas. That's it for me. I will see you guys in 2 weeks. If you're going to be in Gen Con, come hit me up. Show me the ropes if you know what you're doing, because I have no clue. I have no clue. See ya. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.